You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Tough times for social media as old hacked credentials turn up for sale on the black market. PawnStorm is back serving Russian interests in Finnish networks. North Korea may be implicated in a series of ambitious bank raids in Bangladesh and elsewhere. Iran and Saudi Arabia appear to be swapping hacks, but whether criminal, hacktivist, or state-directed remains unclear. Dante espionage campaign remains under investigation. In industry news, VCs seem interested but selective in the cyber sector. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. The past 2 weeks have been difficult ones for social media. LinkedIn realized that its 2012 breach was orders of magnitude worse than initially believed. The network began warning customers on May 18th of this year that their passwords may have been compromised. Since then, stolen credentials for other social media have turned up for sale in criminal markets. Leaked Source, which maintains a searchable database of compromised credentials, announced Friday that it had added more than 427 million items to its listings, most of them apparently stolen from MySpace. Criminals are selling some 360 million MySpace credentials on the black market for the low, low price of 6 Bitcoin, which is about $3,250. The data was lost a few years ago and is now appearing on the black market in what some think may be the largest compromise of its kind on record. Reddit, not specifically mentioning the LinkedIn compromise but alluding to an uptick in account takeovers, is also requiring its users to reset their passwords. Tumblr is also suffering from the aftermath of an old breach. 65 million email addresses and hashed and salted passwords are up for sale by Peace of Mind, also known as Peace, the same hacker or hackers who are selling LinkedIn credentials. Like the LinkedIn and MySpace breaches, the Tumblr compromise is an old one, dating to February 2013. Why data from three old breaches are surfacing now remains a matter of conjecture. Symantec offers more evidence of North Korean involvement in Asian bank fraud attempts. Malware used to facilitate theft from the Bangladesh Bank and elsewhere is sufficiently similar to that used by the Lazarus Group to induce Symantec to finger Pyongyang. Whether or not the DPRK was involved, investigators in Bangladesh have shifted their view of the incident in at least one respect. They now think the theft was facilitated by an insider. PawnStorm, also known as Sophocy, is back in action against targets in Finland. The Russian espionage group is said to have hit media group Sanoma and at least one Finnish member of Bellingcat, a citizen journalist group watching war news in Ukraine, Syria, and elsewhere. Cyber tensions rise around the Arabian Gulf. Palo Alto Networks is following an espionage campaign it's calling Oil Rig that's deploying the Helminth backdoor against targets in Saudi Arabia's banking and defense sectors. It's unclear whether Oil Rig is criminal or state-directed, or both, but Helminth's command and control infrastructure contains clues pointing towards Iran. For its part, Iranian authorities say they've traced an unspecified cyber attack on the statistics center of Iran to Saudi IP addresses. They also said that there's been no organized attack by Iran against Saudi targets, but that some Iranians might have hacked the Saudis for emotional, presumably patriotic, reasons. Kaspersky continues to track the Danti cyber espionage group as it works its way through Indian targets. Danti spreads by spear phishing. Kaspersky believes it sees some commonalities between the spread of this relatively new Trojan and the NetTraveler and Dragon OK groups. Chinese-speaking hackers are thought to be running NetTraveler and Dragon OK. We often speak of attribution when we talk about specific malware exploits, attacks, or campaigns. Attribution is assigning credit or blame to a particular group, individual, or even nation-state. Attribution can be tricky, and not everyone agrees it's valuable. Ryan Trost is CTO at Threat Quotient and suggests attribution can be a valuable tool.
Defenders start to learn the moves of the adversary, what they're experts in, what their weaknesses are, and that ultimately allows them to kind of build a profile or a playbook so that as events and incidents are being triaged, they have a faster place to go to look to really kind of expedite the process completely. Once you start to see an alert and maybe that indicator is associated to a specific adversary group, a security analyst can ultimately look at the profile of that adversary and just have a little bit better of an idea of historically, what have they targeted? Who have they targeted from an endpoint standpoint? Is it a specific person? Is it a specific like database server? And that will allow them to kind of ultimately just make better decisions with their incident response procedures. It just allows them to react significantly faster.
Ryan Trost is sympathetic to those who doubt the value of attribution, but he warns that they shouldn't dismiss it out of hand.
And there's so much subjectiveness in attribution. There's so much shared malware and shared infrastructure out there that a lot of people think, oh, it's too diluted. You can't really get a true sense of attribution because nobody can agree on attribution. Even at the highest levels, they can't really agree on attribution too easily. So that's one side of the fence, and they do have a valid point. The other side of the fence is, well, even if it's murky water, it's still hugely beneficial because the more you know about the adversary, the better you can kind of defend yourself. So even if you're not in the business of prosecuting that criminal activity, as defenders, you still want to start to really organize and structure it so that your IR teams and your incident response efforts can be streamlined based on the intelligence that you've built that profile off of, just the historical knowledge that your team really holds.
That's Ryan Trost. He's the CTO and co-founder at Threat Quotient. IBM warns of a new trend in extortion, or at least quasi-extortion. They're calling it bug poaching, and it may be understood as an attempt to force a bug bounty. Hackers intrude into a network, contact the enterprise with evidence that they've done so, and offer to explain the vulnerability they exploited in exchange for payment. The asks are said to be running at about $30,000. IBM is also reporting an increase in observed cases of sandjacking, in which attackers show an ability to escape iOS sandboxing. In industry news, financial analysts continue to see growing cyber threats driving further growth in the security sector, whatever bearish clouds recent results seem to have cast. A recent influx of venture capital is also taken as a positive sign, although as eWeek sees it, VCs appear to have grown more selective in looking for high payoff technologies. These include, quote, email authenticity, password security, privacy, automation, and segmentation, end quote. Cybersecurity stocks have experienced a general increase in short interest after last week's results-driven volatility, but there's one interesting exception. Palo Alto, which saw its share price drop after reporting a loss, has also seen a decline in short interest. And finally, lest rogue states feel left out from recent social media turmoil, there are reports that a teenager from Scotland hacked North Korea's Facebook clone, starcon.net.kp, shortly after the world became aware on Friday that the DPRK had launched its own version of Facebook. How did the young man get in? He used admin and password as his credentials, and, well, there you go. Bob's your uncle.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
And joining me once again is Dr. Vikram Sharma. He's from Quintessence Labs. And Dr. Sharma, we had talked previously about quantum technology, and you touched on something called a one-time pad. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely, Dave. As we touched on, the quantum key distribution allows you an absolutely secure method of transporting keys between two locations. What this opens up the opportunity for is something called the one-time pad. This was a cipher that was actually invented 90-odd years ago in the 20s by a couple of folks in the U.S. Army Signal Corps. And it relies on the idea that if you have a completely random set of keys and you use them only once, and the length of the key is as big as the data, you apply this operation called an XOR between the data and the key, the output of that cipher operation is indistinguishable from white noise, and thereby you have no patterns whatsoever that can be leveraged to crack that code, therefore making it even unbreakable by a so-called quantum computer when they do come into practical existence.
So is this something that is on the horizon? Is this something that we're going to see being put into use anytime soon?
Well, the cipher is already being used in certain circles. However, the issue is, how do you transport that one-time key material securely between two locations? Typically, that's being done manually to date. What the quantum key distribution allows you is an optical means of transporting that key material securely between the two locations.
All right. Fascinating stuff. Once again, Dr. Vikram Sharma, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.